Here comes my partner in crime, Lindsay Rose.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program here in Studio 66. It's time for something long overdue. It's time for our movie spectacular 2018, perhaps the first of a series. We'll see about that coming up in just a few minutes. The subject of a very popular documentary five years or so ago, Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. From the Arizona Cardinals-ish, it sounds like there's some question about whether or not he'll be wearing that red jersey in 2018. We'll get to the bottom of that and other important issues coming up here in just a minute. Like I say, though, it's time for our movie spectacular. Seated to my immediate left, a returning guest, one of our favorites in the world of podcasting, nay, on the Big Blue Marble, period. It's Bald Brian from the Adam Carolla Show. What's the poop there, fella?
Thanks for having me, Dave. Always excited to be here and excited to talk some movies with you.
Let's do it. And Bald Brian, of course, like I say, you hear his rise to fame on payoff. He's come out clean on the other side on the Adam Carolla Show, the podcast you can listen to 5 days a week. And when you tune in, go for Bald Brian, stay for Dave Dameshek, talking about sports. Good Sports is the daily segment now with me and Ace Carolla, chopping up the game of life, really, more than the here and now in sports.
Tangentially related to sports?
Sometimes sports come up. Life is a sport.
Life's a game.
If you want to make it about that. Also, you heard at the top there, Dan Helly, host of Total Access, and another of our favorite fellas. He joined us. Handsome Hank joined us, and Marquette King joined us as well, Oakland Raiders punter, and we had some fun with him. So go back and listen to all that on DDFP. Download, subscribe. You know what? Like I say, with Big Cat and PFT, what they do on Pardon My Take, they tell you to subscribe, unsubscribe, then resubscribe. I don't care. I'll steal that bit from them. You should do that. Let's go already. Hey, at the time of this recording, it's National Women's Day? Is that what it's called? National Women's Day?
Perhaps
International Women's Day.
Not just American.
No. We are going worldwide.
So Tom Petty and everybody, you can sing about the American girl, but let's just sing about all women.
Ooh,
right?
What if we're only celebrating international women? It's International Women's Day, the Day of International Women.
Meaning that we as Americans should be celebrating women
other
from
cultures,
foreign lands?
Or women who have multiple passports, you know, dual citizenship, but it feels a little limiting. I'm guessing it's Women's Day internationally is probably more what they're saying, right?
I see.
That makes more sense.
I see. Yeah. Yeah, it's like when they have
International,
you know,
House of Penguins.
When it's a national fill in the blank right. disease day, you're not celebrating the disease
yes.
so much as you are celebrating the fight against it.
I would imagine that's probably the case for most sane people.
Right, but let's not. I don't want to get into the business of speaking for other people.
Okay.
I also like when people say you gotta respect. Don't tell me what I gotta
that's
do.
Right.
I don't gotta respect anything. One thing you gotta give them. I don't got to give anybody anything.
Respect
don't tell me.
Who's earning in this studio?
Who are you telling me what I have to do? Well, listen, take care of you, fella. Yeah. I'll do me.
You got to respect that take, everyone.
Thank you.
Respect that opinion.
You got to.
You have no choice.
Hey, you know, I do want to say, I hate to pat myself on the back, but we here at the Dameshek Football Program are ahead of the curve because we installed Emma VP as our head writer many, many moons ago. Not because it was politically appropriate to do. Well, that has nothing to do with the climate.
You were trying to score points?
No. I mean, in fact, it was a really generous deed. I mean, Emma VP, I mean, it's been said that women aren't as funny as men, and nevertheless, there she is as our head writer.
This is getting worse.
Thanks so much. I'm glad to be here.
I disagree.
Not a compliment.
Nope. I know it's not.
I disagree with that assertion, with that nonsense theory.
The proof's in the pudding. She's right on the other side of the glass.
It's not about what a man or not a man, what a person says. Mm. It's about that person's actions. And my actions indicate that I'm a fan of MVP handling all creative matters.
They speak louder than the words.
Here on the Damashek Show. So, all right, let's dig in. What do we want to talk about? Before we jump in on the movies very quickly, because I do think, you know, there are people who would submit that all plot lines have been determined by Shakespeare 500 years ago, and now we're all just retelling those plot lines.
I had been taught by a writing teacher at one point that there are only 36 or something plot lines that exist, and everything is a variation thereof.
Right.
I've heard this theory.
Yeah, and in more modern times, if you're a pro tip, Chekhov is the way to go. Chekhov is, if you pay attention, if you go back and look at Chekhov's work and then look at what a lot of sitcom writers have done over the last quarter century, 30 years, you'll find that there's a lot of aping of what Chekhov laid out. Anyway, that's deep in the weeds there. That's a tip for Emma VP.
Very heady.
Although she doesn't need it. She's the,
indeed.
She's the head writer. I'm sure she already knew that part. But a lot of it is Shakespearean, what's happening in the NFL right now, specifically up in Seattle. Where do we come down? And I think some football fans in Seattle took offense, and it was not intended. As the Seahawks announced that they're trading Michael Bennett, one of our favorite guys in the league, trading him away to Philadelphia, and there's at least word that it would look like Richard Sherman is done.
You got to respect that. You got to respect
You got to respect what they did there. I think that they so it would look like they're headed for divorce. I don't think he rejoins the team. But either way, it seems like, that's it for the Seahawks. As we've known them, if you started watching football, if you're a 16-year-old kid from the Pacific Northwest, all you've known is dominant football in your backyard.
On the defensive side.
But now it's over with, right? Well, where do you come down? How do you regard the Seattle Seahawks?
From the fans' perspective, I can say as a fan of the 49ers back in the day, I don't know if this is a fake narrative or not, but you get the idea, the sense that when they start to dismantle key pieces of formerly great teams, it feels to the fans like, that's it. We're cashing in, or we're rebuilding, or whatever it is, you know? So I can see that point of view. I don't know how important these guys are to the team as constructed versus 5 years ago when that truly was a dominant defense. This is more a question for, you know, Dave Damashek. You got to respect that knowledge that Dave Damashek brings to them.
You need to do it, you know?
You got to do it.
Say what you want about them, but you got to give them this.
That's right. Say what you
Damashek,
want.
Damashek can break down the X's and O's like nobody's business. Right. Michael Bennett remains among the best. Of course, if you want to be cynical about it, he does like to get that jump at the line of scrimmage. Sometimes that he jumps off sides. But I think you throw him into that Eagles pass rush, already nasty, the key detail of them winning the Super Bowl in all likelihood, and something that I forecasted, by the way, in September, that's why the Eagles were going to steal the NFC East. People scoffed. No one was laughing anymore come November, December, and certainly not earlier in February. But anywho.
Someone else who wasn't laughing. I know, Dave, this has come as news to you, but you are allowed to place wagers in places where it's legal.
I heard about that.
On teams. They're called futures bets, you know, teams that you think might win. And as soon as Carson Wentz went down, I put myself a futures bet on the Eagles there to win the whole thing.
No, you did.
I did. It was 12 or 14 to 1. I'll explain the odds mean to you afterwards. But I was like,
Bit of honeys. Won bit of honeys.
That's right.
All you won is Jolly Ranchers.
Was that not obvious?
Yeah.
This is a complete team. This is not resting on the Carson Wentz, very important part of the team, but this is a very complete team.
I did not agree with you.
No slouch.
You know what?
No slouch.
Well, apparently he isn't a slouch, but I thought at the time he was a slouch. It seemed like he was kind of a punchline, in fact. And I will say this. For 20 days, from the time that the Patriots vanquished the Jags in Foxborough, from that moment, as soon as that game ended, it was a bummer for me because there was anticlimactic feeling for me that, obviously the Patriots are now going to win the Super Bowl. Now, I mean, there's nothing that's going to stop that from happening at this point.
There were very few people who doubted that.
So for the next 13 days, I just knew. I knew how this thing was going to work out. But I woke up on Super Sunday, and you will see that there is visual evidence of this, that I did reverse my pick at the last minute. I switched it to the Eagles, and so now I'm on the right side of history. You got to respect that.
Say what you will, but flip-flopping at the last minute, you got to respect that.
Bald, I want to do what we should have done a long time ago. Of these things, it's out there. Everybody has to be zany, you know, first of all. I feel like I was a little ahead of the curve as usual with the bracket stuff. It's March and March Madness and everybody's got to fill out their brackets. And about 12, 15 years ago, I started doing, you know, silly brackets.
Brackets of life.
Brackets, funny stuff, you know, movie villain Zane. Brackets and stuff like that that were funny.
Whimsical.
At the time. Now it's hack, right? I think
it's
we
rote.
Can agree.
Yes,
rote.
You must do it.
Yes, everybody does it. And so same thing. People love to do their lists. You know, I've been making my list since before it was cool. And the everyone
this is Dave List Damashek talking right.
Everyone under the sun. Well, you were there for the beginning of the jerk list, as a matter of fact.
So. I thought it was called the Jerk Report.
It was initially. Thank you for.
But
for
it's
your
very
keen
obviously
recall.
A list.
Oh, that was a point.
It's a controversial point.
Oh, that was another dispute that I had with one Jimmy Kimmel, where he said, "Oh, it's got to be a list." I said, "Well, but it's a report.
It's
I'm
a
reporting
report.
On it."
He's like, "It's very clearly
I'm reporting
a list.
On people." No, no, it's a list. You have to do it as a list. Then he demanded I make it a list, and then I was like, "Ah, oh, fine."
That was his final edict out the door. With morning show, I was like, "I'm
better make
this.
It a list."
Right,
so I made it a list, and that's that. Anywho. So I did my whole everybody now does their sports movie lists.
Right.
Fine. Everybody has their opinion. It's time for the definitive sports movie.
Okay.
No, you know, airtight. Not, oh, we forgot and, oh, we should have mentioned.
Are you ranking or are you just saying this isn't?
This is it. I think we just make, like, as though it's a Hall of Fame for sports movies, and this is the first class going in. There might be some other ones that are going to be considered.
That's ambitious.
There might be a second class, but here is the ironclad 10 best. I'm not married to a number.
Because that's phony. The first class for the Baseball Hall of Fame, that was Babe Ruth and Christy Mathewson. And literally, at that time, the Mount Rushmore of baseball players, they left out, greats like Lou Gehrig and whoever else because we have to, we're cutting it thin, man.
This is it. And you know what? As an offshoot, it reminds me, I've also said that, Halls of Fame are neat, but they're a 20th century product. I have summoned a 21st century improvement to it. It's the hall of all, and it's not about fame. It's about who's the best, and it's not for one sport. It's for all of sport. Who would be in the initial class of that one?
And this is
the same measure that you just laid out there. This Lou Gehrig.
Right.
Is an all-time great, but does he rise to the level that if you
of
had
first class?
An American Sports Hall of Fame, a hall of all the sports, who is in that initial class?
Okay, so my first thought is
I'm going to start writing these down.
And these are athletes we're talking people.
Off the top of my head, Nicklaus, right? He's the best golfer of all time.
I didn't see that coming.
You don't think Jack Nicklaus is the best golfer of all time?
No,
Spaghetti,
no.
Way in here too, behind the glass, if you have any thoughts.
No, I agree with Paul. MVP, Brian, out of all the athletes to name, that's the first one you throw out.
That's
I
wild.
Think like Babe Ruth, like Will Chamberlain, like that.
Will Chamberlain.
Wayne Gretzky over Mario Lemieux.
No.
20-second timeout. Much like everything, we need to establish some criteria. And the first thing that came to mind, you tell me what you think about this, is they need to transcend greatness in sports. I think we're thinking of cultural icons here. I'm thinking like Muhammad Ali.
You're already getting sideways with this nonsense.
You're talking about the Hall of All.
Don't get into the Hall of Fame because some stinking writer decides, he wasn't nice to me in the locker room, so I'm not going to vote for him.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying like...
When you start getting into cultural relevance, that's when...
If you're asking for the five greatest athletes of the 20th century...
I didn't say five. You said five. Whatever the list is, if it's two or if it's 17, that's what the list is.
Nicklaus,
you get what rises above. Babe Ruth rises above Lou Gehrig. We're not looking at OPSs to determine which guy was better. Who was greater, Babe Ruth or Lou Gehrig? Same thing.
I'm confused about your criteria.
All right.
I would go with the Muhammad Ali's, the Michael
All right.
Jordan's.
I like Ali. I like Jordan. Tom Brady certainly has to be in, right? Doesn't Lawrence Taylor have to be in? This is the greatest athletes of all time that we're putting together from American sports. Doesn't that have to be? Mays has to be.
I'm not a racing fan, but does like Dale Earnhardt have to go in? He's very important to a large segment of the population. Like I'm thinking like I'm thinking like John McEnroe. Like these are the
McEnroe.
I'm just thinking of like the cultural icons. We're talking
Federer
about
would be ahead, wouldn't he?
Well, I guess we're
Serena. I don't know which is the better women's tennis player of all time.
I think Serena.
Serena's better than Martina.
Definitely. Serena should definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that those two kind of rhyme. I never noticed
Serena
that
Martina.
Until just now. Serena goes in.
I think so.
All right. Lemieux.
Babe Ruth, of course.
Lemieux I don't agree with. You can't put Lemieux in over a lot of, like a few people come to mind.
In what sense?
Or Gretzky?
Ability.
I love Eddie Spaghetti. Who's how old are you again, Spaghetti? 22?
No, 25. 24.
Oh, excuse me.
He says derisively.
25. Whoa. 25. Hey, I'm a New Yorker. I know, but I spent 4 years in Boston, so I got to talk about the great Bobby Orr.
Well, if you're going to put in Lemieux, then I could just
Bobby Orr,
Brian Leach.
You've never
Henrik
seen
Lundqvist.
Who are you to talk? Fine, you've seen Henrik Lundqvist play hockey before, so
right,
you're
but
in.
I'm not
so
being
at
biased.
Least you're in a position to talk about him. You've never. What have you ever seen Bobby Orr? I love when people advocate. They get angry about how dare you leave off Y.A. Tittle from. What do you know? Otto Graham is the best. Wait, when did you see Otto
well,
Graham
I'm not,
play
I'm,
a game?
I'm trying not to have recency bias. So
I appreciate
it. I know, but it's so on the other end of the spectrum, now you're being pretentious. When people play that game of, Don Hudson. Well, Don Hudson, I mean, how can you argue against?
Well,
did you ever see Don Hudson play? What do you know about what he did?
I went to school in Boston, so I've watched, Bobby Orr is like a.
Oh, what'd you watch of Bobby Orr? You saw pictures of him hanging on
it's
walls
It's the same
in
thing
bars?
With you talking about Super Bowl 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, you,
untrue,
you watch NFL
because I've
films.
I've watched those games.
I watched Nesson, and I watched all the specials on him, and I know his stats. I know how good he was and how people speak right. highly of him.
Listen, the numbers.
I grew up in the Bay Area. You don't see me advocating for Joe Montana. Put Joe Montana on the list, by the way, please.
Advocate for Montana? That predates you?
That was a hilarious joke.
All right, but you do know
Dave,
Montana, right? You're not that young.
Much like your hair, this bit is not quite all there. Like, I think we need to have some criteria.
I'm getting zingers from a bald guy?
I think we need to have some criteria. I think we need to agree on how many people are getting in. And
all right, well, drop us a line, hashtag
DDFP. We're just naming great athletes.
I'm throwing out candidates. How are we gonna make the omelet if we don't break some eggs along the way?
I think you said top 10 athletes.
I said nothing about a number.
That's
I said what the list is what the list is.
Any good list needs criteria.
I'm like Michelangelo. I'm chipping away at the marble and I'm seeing what's underneath. I don't know how many people deserve to be in this initial list.
I would say this is more of a report than a list.
All right, let's put that one aside. But you
we should put a pin in this. And I agree with everything Ball Bryant said. We have to have an X amount of
get that.
Why don't you marry him?
No. Because this is something we could continue for the offseason. We have to have a finite amount of athletes per sport. I think because then it gets too many.
I like the Hall of All, but it's like we're initiating our first class. However many people, 10, a dozen,
right.
8, whatever it is, give us the greatest of the great American athletes. Now you got something.
Yeah.
Wait, let me just, before we move on to the sports movie list, Spaghetti wants to make a case for Tommy Heinsohn. Not as the broadcaster. No, the player, Tommy Heinsohn, with the Celtics.
Yeah.
Tell us about what your favorite thing was about watching him.
All I'm saying is I was influenced for a place I lived in for 4-plus years. That's all I'm saying. And I know
anybody else you want to talk about, though?
It needs to include either Mike Greenwell or Mo Vaughn. Not both, but one or the other.
Let me tell you now about a guy named Lefty Grove. Lefty Grove was a killer out there on the hump back in the third.
I do have some TV and movie news before you guys start the next segment.
Oh, okay, great.
Did you see the Jon Favreau Star Wars streaming series that's coming about?
I did.
Boy, oh boy. See, talk about being at the front end of something. See, we started with the digital stuff before it was cool.
Jon Favreau, the political commentator, or Jon Favreau, the director?
The director.
Oh, that would make a lot more sense.
He's writing and producing. They should team up. Star Wars streaming series. The other item is David Chase is reviving Sopranos with a movie. It's a prequel to The Sopranos.
I don't mind that.
What?
Hour ago.
So, Dave, on the film vault, we did our top five TV dramas series of all time. And I don't watch a lot of TV, but the one series I saw every single episode of and loved, Sopranos, my number one. Number one
series of all time.
Admittedly, I don't watch a lot of TV. So I've never seen, you're going to blow your mind. I've never seen an episode of Breaking Bad.
Okay.
Never seen an episode of Mad Men. Never seen an episode of Sons of Anarchy. What is the one with the zombies? The Walking Dead.
You can skip that one.
Wire, Oz. I've never seen any of these shows.
Oz. That was a weird one to drop in. But yes.
I hear it's a great show.
A lot of wieners and stuff. No, it's
I wouldn't know.
It's a weird show. And it's wildly
Orange is
overrated.
The New Black. I don't know.
It's wildly overrated.
House of Cards. Never seen an episode.
That's terribly overrated, too, after the first year. It's
If you were to assign me one series, one great
Breaking
series.
Bad. No question.
Okay, all right.
No question. Breaking Bad's
Mad Men.
I will not see
you go Mad Men over Breaking Bad.
It's close, though. Those are some fantastic programs you haven't seen, Bald Brian.
I mean, 21st Century TV, it is interesting that 21st Century TV is wildly superior.
Oh, we're in the golden age. I recognize that. I'm not, you know, crapping on these shows. I understand they're fantastic shows.
I did announce.
I got no time. All movies these days, Dave. I'm all movies.
The younger kids here on the DDFP, a lot of them don't really embrace The Simpsons. They're not aware of The Simpsons.
My number one comedy of all
time. That's the funniest show of all time. Yeah.
Hey, man, we could do a whole episode on just Simpsons.
Season 3 to season 13 is Dave's guide. Some people will say that's too loose. The really hardcore Simpsons people will say, like, I gotta watch.
Yeah, I don't get
go
quite
to season
as
eight. Then after that, it's no.
I don't get quite as granular as that. But God, I was thinking about that Simpsons moment yesterday, and I laughed out loud to myself alone in my house when the episode where Homer's a food critic, and he's a terrible writer, but he's a food critic, and he's all alone writing, and he's like, the food was really, and he looks over at the dog, and like, he's getting cues from all the animals in the house, and he goes, the food was really, and he goes, rough, and he goes, I don't know, you've been pitching rough all night, and he goes, chewy? Such a stupid moment. It's so perfect. So stupid.
I forget what season it is. I think it's like season 9 or 10-ish, somewhere in there, where almost every joke is self-referential. And so if you haven't been watching it, it's hysterical. What's so funny behind the glass there, Spaghetti and MVP?
We're mocking The Simpsons and
what?
And the humor of that show.
You're mocking it.
We just don't get it.
We don't understand. That's
I wouldn't say that out loud. This is on record.
This should be deleted.
That could come back to haunt you. That says something bad, you know? But all right, that's your business.
They work for you?
They do.
For now?
I'm embarrassed. I have egg on my face.
You're embarrassed for them.
I'm sorry you had to be here for this.
I'm embarrassed for you.
Well, you know what was embarrassing for you? I was embarrassed for you when I invited you onto my program to have this conversation about the best sports movies of all time. And then in between that offer, that generous invitation, and today, you saw fit to attack me on social media.
I responded in kind.
No, you attacked me.
Okay.
Do you have the tweet that you sent?
I can find it.
I talked to Adam Carolla about the fact that you have a cockamamie opinion that Jerry Maguire, which I listed as one of the greatest sports movies of all time, you said it's not a sports movie, and so I took it to the arbiter, Adam Carolla.
Well, here's – okay, go ahead.
I mean, I don't know how it's not a sports movie.
The problem,
let's just have that conversation now.
We should.
So first of all, it's a sports movie – hear are the arguments here, MVP and Spaghetti.
We should find out if the people behind the glass have a preordained opinion on this. Jerry Maguire, sports movie, strong yes, strong no, or not sure.
Strong yes.
Okay.
I think it's like more of a rom-com with the backbone of being sports. I don't think it's necessarily.
Well, this is a good sampling because this is sort of the two schools of thought.
Well, but Spaghetti's opinion basically. Even the people arguing against it being a sports movie can't get away from the fact that, yes, the through line of the picture is that he's a sports agent.
Right.
And how many scenes involve – I don't want to turn it into just a percentage game, but what percentage of dialogue, what percentage of scenes are devoted to the sports world? A lot. Enough of a percentage, I would submit, to make it into a sports movie.
That's
especially
fair.
In the third act, the big resolution is Rod Tidwell catching the big pass, making $1 million, and Jerry Maguire realizing this is my big moment, this is my moment of success as well, but unlike Rod Tidwell, I have no one to share it with, so he runs over to Renee Zellweger, and they make their love.
Now,
it's still owed to the success of what happens in the football game.
If I may have the floor for a moment, because something up, and Dave, if I could just start off by saying, big fan.
Oh, thank you. That's nice. I haven't heard that in a while.
Well,
thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
I can see why. So when you went on Carolla's
–
when you went to speak to Carolla, you made your case without me there. That's the only thing I took issue with. The only thing I took issue with is arguing against my point of view when I was not there. So
I knew this was going to happen so we would be able to have our face-to-face. In the meantime, what did you tweet at me when I took it to Carolla on his show and we kibitzed about it on an episode of Good Sports on the Adam Carolla Show? In fact, I think that that episode is out on this, as we speak right now. That one just came out.
Can be digested right now.
You should listen to That Good Sports and hear what Carroll has to say. But then Bald Brian tweeted at me a couple of days
ago. I made a joke along the lines of,
what kind of person does this?
What kind of brave man goes on and argues?
Well, read your tweet.
I can't. That's not important.
I'd like you to say it so you could determine whether or not it was offensive.
It wasn't offensive. Anyone with a sense of humor.
It felt like an attack. I felt attacked by you.
I said, yep, at Damashek did what any brave man would do, debate someone who isn't there. I can see why you're the best, Dave.
All right, let's.
I called you the best.
Let's start with Eddie Spaghetti on this one. Was that snarky, or
was
I right to be offended?
Snarky,
of course,
it
was snarky.
If you're offended by that, you got some thin skin.
Yeah, man.
Well, yeah, well, so
we,
what?
We know
I have thin skin.
Yes, thin hair.
So that's right. But so what? If you know going in.
You can't pepper your skin like your hair, so.
Wait a second. If you take a vacation to Mexico, there might be a lot of great things about going to Mexico for a vacation, but you also know don't drink the water, right? Hey, Dave, he's a swell fella, but, you know, just be careful with him because he's a little delicate, you know? He doesn't like it when you go at him like that.
But I think you're buddies, and it's a hot debate.
But
and
how
you see each other enough?
How little does someone have to know me to not understand that Dave has an inverse relationship with the world? I love it when strangers attack me. I think that's funny, which I should be more mindful. I should be more offended by random objective people coming
as
at me
as opposed to someone who knows and likes you.
But those things amuse me, whereas when people are trying to just have some fun with me who I know, there's no real malice in it. That's what offends me. That's the opposite of the way I think most people react.
In the moment, I did forget. I honestly did forget, like, oh, yeah, Dave has really thin skin.
I don't like being attacked. MVP, how say you?
I think it was just a friendly dig.
You think it was a friendly dig?
That's two for two.
What would you like it if somebody did that to you?
No, I'm sensitive like you, but hey, that's part of playing the game. Yeah.
There you go.
You and the tiny MVP. Very sensitive.
Somebody on Twitter, in fact, on Wednesday night, I noticed, said, but they didn't say who their target was. They called one of us a bad word.
They said, what a jerk, essentially.
Right, but it's a bad one. It's one that a lot of people will say is the most offensive of all the bad words.
Could we say what it starts with?
No, but it's like it insinuates that you're being, you know, soft or whatever. You know, you're being too delicate.
Women especially would be very, very offended.
Women definitely don't like that. Yeah. Pro tip. Don't ever direct that at a woman. They will not like it.
Some may call a buddy when you're drinking.
English people, yeah, British say it more freely than American.
Anywho,
it wasn't clear who this guy was saying, who was using that nasty word at. Was it at Bald Brian or was it at me? How say you, Eddie Spaghetti? Who do you think? The attack on Twitter, or was it my reaction or me having the conversation with Carolla and not Bald Brian being there? Who's in the wrong here?
I can definitively tell.
I wish I could see the tweet. I cannot find it. If I had a guess.
Yeah, no, it was just basically in response to me and Bald Brian saying, like, yeah, that was a little blanky. Who do you think they were talking about?
Oh, probably you then, now that I think about it. Because if you, yeah. I don't think a stranger would not get that upset over a friendly dig on Twitter.
A stranger would you assume too much. That's
maybe
where you're both wrong. You and Bald Brian are both wrong.
Oh, I should point of information for
how would anybody know that Bald Brian and I, this is just a back and forth that they have ongoing that started last week. How would the expectation is that everybody's up to speed on that?
Important point of information that you may not know. My followers like to tweet me horrible things much more so than Damashek. So this guy is not holding back from, you know, calling me a nasty word, nor does any of my followers.
I think that means that you're winning they're doing
it. It is for sure. He cleared it up. He was for sure aiming it at me. The blaster was aimed at me.
Oh, he did. The guy responded.
Yes, I said I had the definitive answer.
See, Damashek has a heart of gold, and that's all he wants everybody else to have, and they refuse to do it. In fact, they instead of gold, they like to throw dirt and other filth on it and take away the glorious sheen that I try to paint onto the world.
May I make my case against your employer being supposed to be in?
I just wanted to clear the air on that.
I will make my case to the two behind the glass, and it's good because one is leaning one way, one's leaning the other, and I will present.
Panel of two.
Yeah. So we'll probably end up with the tie, to be honest with you. It'd be great if I flipped them both. Okay, so first, like,
it'd be
like,
even funnier if you turn spaghetti against his initial opinion and join me and Ed my passionate defense.
So first, we have to agree, like a lawyer, you know, have to stipulate certain things about the debate. And one is sports movies are defined by specific tropes. Like sports movies have specific tropes that are unique to sports movies. The grizzled, no, they don't all have these, but they have some combination of them. The grizzled coach, the angry owner, the enthusiastic fan, the over-involved parent in school movies, you know, Shooter and Hoosiers, or Tim McGraw on Friday Night Lights, the cagey veteran, the hotshot rookie, the commentator, the journalist, Max Mercy in The Natural, for example, or John C. McGinley in Any Given Sunday, the young upstart who seeks out the forgotten hero, and the forgotten hero seeking redemption, both of which are on display in Creed, or Cars, or Eddie the Eagle. I mean, these are tropes that are unique to sports movies. Jerry Maguire has literally none of these. No sports tropes.
Just because you said that paragraph out loud doesn't make it true. If I could summon Skywalker's repeated phrase from the last Star Wars, that's another thing we could talk about is Star Wars, and that was not especially great, right?
It doesn't hold up as cleanly as some of the others.
Do you agree with my ranking of the Star Wars movies? I'll just give you my Empire 1, Last Hope, Star Wars, the original, 2, and 3, Rogue One.
You and I are in step on how good Rogue One is.
Rogue One is magnificent. Spectacular.
It is. It's magnificent and only serves to show how underwhelming the other two new movies have been. I'll go along with that. I might switch Rogue One and New Hope, but at the end of the day, New Hope's iconic.
Oh, wow. You like Rogue One?
Oh, Rogue One's a fantastic movie.
Here's the reason that New Hope, in the same way that Fellowship of the Ring is great too,
right.
The first Lord of the Rings. You might make a case that Two Towers is superior, just as most people will tell you that Empire is better than New Hope. But those initial pictures deserve tons of credit, heaps and heaps of credit, because they go into these bizarro worlds that could very easily have just been punchlines 3 minutes into for the viewing public.
Right.
I mean, it could have been absurd. Hey, grown-ups running around. Like, when you start getting into extras, that's when things can get sideways.
Yeah.
Hey, it's just like 150 grown-ups running around in silly costumes and dressed like robots or dressed like semi-monsters in Lord of the Rings and all that. And yet, 5 minutes in, you are 100% in.
You're
in that universe. And that is something you can't sleep on. So that's why you have New Hope up high.
Okay, I agree with you. And also, I'm a fan of Return of the Jedi. I think it's a really well-made movie. I mean, it's got two or three the Jabba the Hutt Sarlacc pit sequence is amongst the best things in the entire series of Star Wars. What do you mean?
They don't give Boba Fett a good send-off.
Agree.
He's a noble warrior who gets a ridiculous send-off. And by the way, what's so bad about the Sarlacc pit? The main threat about being thrown into him is that you're going to be slowly digested over 1,000 years.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, except for the fact that you're going to be dead. You know, like you're going to be bothered by the digestive process. Day three, it's over with for you anyway.
Yeah, as soon as you're higher.
And by the way,
function.
Doesn't your body wither away anyway? How's it? Is it somehow suspending the, what's it called?
The nervous system?
No, when you are, you know, under the ground and you wither away.
Oh, the decomposition process?
Decomposition. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is this now extending the decomposition
process?
Yeah,
and the Sarlacc
exponentially? It must be, because if you just are left to your own as a dead person, you're going to decompose in a couple of years, right?
Exactly. The Sarlacc have to be
it's 1,000 years
to digest you from the feet up so as to leave your higher brain function still going so you know how tortured you are, and you'd have to sustain you. You'd have to
somehow it would have to, like, matrix you and keep you alive, like, to feel the torture. It's not that bad a threat, you know? I mean, I wouldn't want it, but
realistically, the 1,000 years is only going to feel like 3 days for me.
That's the point. Well, because
I'm going to die of exhaustion.
Anywho, we got sideways
so
there.
The sports.
And by the way, just because you said anyway, your speech
a
lot of those tropes do exist. Let me take a look. I'm not going to look at your crib sheet, which I don't need because I speak from the heart. I don't need a crib sheet. What are you pointing at?
I'll sign it and put it on your wall.
We're 34 minutes in. That's all.
We're 30. Wow, all right.
You know what? We have to go a little longer.
We'll pace it up a little.
Sorry.
All right,
sorry,
here we go.
Badger.
But let me just say something.
Oh, wait. Name a sports movie.
Named all those.
Any sports movie has a variation of
Parent. We have that.
Yeah. And Jerry Maguire has no sports tropes.
I just said that we do have an over-involved parent in Jerry Maguire.
Who?
The guy who made Bo Bridges makes the deal for his son.
That's
not what I meant by that.
I don't think that fits the trope. I don't think that fits the trope.
First of all, and you've asserted that those are requirements for something. MVP, as somebody who involves yourself, in the screenplay writing process, do you agree that those are tentpole requirements to have something that you would define as a sports movie?
No, I don't think you need a trope to make something what it is.
Well, Emma, name a sports movie. I'm not trying to trick you. Just name a sports movie.
The Blind Side.
Oh, that's a great example. Put a pin in that. The Blind Side. That's coming up later. Good example.
Cool.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. You're going to make a awesome point for me. Thank you. Okay. Sports movies also have specific arcs, right? Like they almost always start with some sort of training. Almost always.
All right. Well, Jerry Maguire has his version of a training program when he quits of making himself the underdog in the movie.
No, so Jerry Maguire's journey
is... What do you mean no? His journey is that he quits a powerhouse agency to go out on his own, making himself into the underdog.
So Jerry's journey is very typical of any movie trope where the once powerful hero realizes he's living a lie and gives up everything to sort of reascend to even greater heights. This is a trope so universal it's almost cliche or melodrama, like Iron Man, Batman Begins. These are heroes who are like, you know what, I'm not living a righteous life and now I must give it all up, and they thus ascend to even greater heights. This is not a...
That doesn't sort of describe Creed? That doesn't describe...
Creed's the trope of the young upstart who seeks out the forgotten hero.
All right. Well, now I'm getting confused, because Jerry Maguire does exactly what you just described.
So like you said before, a lot of people, and you're not alone, a lot of people mistakenly think the climax of the film is that Rod Tidwell sequence, right, where they have the game and he injures himself and he comes
back. No, instead it's the penultimate payoff. So what?
The climax of the film, the actual character's arc. Jerry Maguire achieves his full redemption, his full growth in the "you had me at hello, you complete me" scene. That is the climax of the film. You cannot have a climax of the film where the title character, the main character, does not achieve some kind of growth. That is, that scene wraps up the Rod Tidwell beast.
Okay, well let me then throw at you another movie. A movie called Major League. Tom Berenger, is his growth, his payoff, his growth as a human being, is making out with what's her name?
His
80s and 90s.
Climactic,
what's her name from Lethal Weapon?
Rene Russo.
Get Shorty.
Rene Russo. No, his climb. That's funny you mentioned that. That's the denouement. His climactic moment is the same as the teens when he lays down the bunt. That's his moment, because he's the broken down hero who wants one last shot.
But he becomes a man and he gets back the heart of Rene Russo.
Yeah, that's his reward. That's his reward for his climactic moment, his heroic moment.
MVP,
he won the game.
Do we see where this is headed? Clearly, I can counter all of these. His reward is Renee Zellweger for recognizing
that. But that's not the
that
climax of the movie, is him giving her a kiss. That's the denouement. That's the little part that comes after the climax. That's like, oh, we're all wrapping it up now. We're tying up a nice little bow. And that's as tropey as I love Major League, but that's as tropey as a sports movie get. You have literal training, spring training. You have the wacky teammates. You have the character who's the ne'er-do-well and the one who's the old broken-down
veteran. The training scene in Jerry Maguire, the equivalent of that would be Jerry working the phones trying to keep all of his clients they fall by the wayside. That's his failing moment where he has to now come back from. All right. Do you have more? Or do you want to give? I want to do the sports movies too, or at least begin this now.
Sure.
Eddie Spaghetti, are you bored with this conversation?
No, I like it a lot.
The Blind Side is a great example of another movie that is not actually a sports movie. The climactic moment does not take place on the field. The through line, much like Jerry Maguire, it's not Rod Tidwell and Jerry Maguire. It's Jerry Maguire and Dorothy Boyd. That's the through line. That's the emotional arc. That's when Jerry realizes, oh, I'm not living a good life, and I want to be with this woman. That's when he becomes a full man.
Is Chariots of Fire a sports movie?
I've actually never seen Chariots of Fire.
Oh, my.
So I can't tell you. But I'll tell you what else isn't a sports movie. Fever Pitch, right? Because, like, their emotional moment is, like, coming together at the end. It's not the sport. That's just, like, the backbone of – and I understand.
With that, I can kind of agree.
The Fan has baseball throughout. There would not be a movie if it wasn't for baseball. Is The Fan a sports movie?
I've never seen The
Fan. What?
You would love it. Certainly that. Seems like a sports movie.
It is not a sports movie. It is a terrible movie, and it is not by any stretch of the imagination.
It seems like hot garbage, which is why I never saw it.
Is Concussion a sports movie?
I never saw that one.
Oh, jeez, Dave. All right, these are all sports movies.
I mean, I don't
because
know
they,
about
they,
that
they have a sports wall to
no,
wall.
No, jeez me. You didn't see the Academy Award-winning movie that's from 1983, Chariots of Fire, which many were very upset about.
5 years old.
82 or 83, E.T. It beat out E.T., and people were not happy,
that. I'm just saying that there are sports movies are very much not defined by just having a lot of sports. The Fever Pitch, The Blind Side, Concussion, The Fan. These are all movies that have a lot of sports.
I didn't make that case. I'll tell you what.
But no, that's the case you made for Jerry Maguire. You said it's got nothing but sports. It's about a sports agent. Just because it's about sports.
If you want to turn it into
a sports movie.
If you want to turn it into some, you know, calculation, the amount, it's not that there is sports in it. It is the whole thing is about sports.
It's not though. Think of Dave. Think about the moment.
She and he fall in love because they're partnering up at a sports agency. The entire movie revolves around chasing this quarterback kid. The whole thing is about Rod Tidwell. What isn't sportsy about it?
But as I pointed out, just because a movie has a lot of sports and relies on sports does not make it a sports movie.
I disagree with you about that. The percentage is pretty high.
A sports movie is defined by the tropes and defined by how it fits into that archetype. And this does not fit.
According to you, is that the case? I disagree. Black Sunday, for instance, have you seen Black Sunday, the terrorist movie? They set out, they fly the Goodyear blimp into Super Bowl X.
Oh,
now it has the greatest. I mean, and it is actually shot at Super Bowl X, and it has some of the greatest, if not the greatest, not hyperbolically, am I saying this? The greatest access you'll ever see for a legitimate big-time sporting event. They're down on the field shooting, and it's actually, you know, Lynn Swann, the crazy catch game against the Dallas Cowboys. And the whole, but they're on the field shooting. You would never be able to make that movie today. They would never be like, yeah, hey, major movie-making crew. Yeah, you can take up space on the Super Bowl sidelines and shoot your movie. That would just never be a thing.
What was the hockey movie that involved the Penguins?
Sudden Death.
I was about to say Sudden Impact.
They also had great access.
Not a sports movie.
Yeah.
It takes place in an arena. It's not a sports movie.
I'm willing to...
Furthermore, Jerry Maguire himself, the character, does not achieve his character redemption, his character growth, whatever you want to call it, through sports. He sees it through love. He meets Dorothy Boyd, falls in love with her, and realizes this is the life I'm meant to lead. So...
The vehicle that allows him to recognize that, though, is, in fact, sports and a heroic deed by a guy who, by the way, was not a minor character. He won the Academy Award, Cuba Gooding.
Oh, I agree.
Maybe a little silly that he won the Academy Award, but still.
Time has not been kind to Cuba's canon.
I remember when Cuba, it was like, oh, he's an Academy Award winner. What's his next movie? Snow Dog, or whatever it was called, Snow Pups or something. MVP, we've already covered, I'm a delicate flower, so when I see you guys laughing about something that we're not talking about,
Snow Dogs is a funny comment, and we laughed about it.
Oh, all right. All right. This is going way too long.
I thought they said funny.
No, no, it's funny.
I thought they said funny comedy, and I was like, you don't like The Simpsons, but you like Snow Dogs?
No.
This is not going well. So I'm saying that Jerry Maguire.
Now, Young Sheldon. Now that's something. Now that's a laugh.
Now, Big Bang Theory. That's some good stuff.
So yeah, Jerry Maguire fits more tropes of the rom com than it does of a sports movie. And you have to understand that movies.
All right, I've said my piece. I'm going to turn it over now to the panel of two. Final verdict. Emma VP. We'll start with you.
It's a sports movie.
I mean, it's. I mean, yeah.
Microphones.
I don't know what else you're supposed to say about it. The first act is set in a sports agency, and all they're talking about is sports. The final act is all of it's a football game. I don't know what else you need to know about it. Go ahead, Spaghetti.
It's based off of Lee Steinberg's life. Is that correct?
Lee Steinberg. What's he do for a living?
He's a sports agent, right?
Yeah, he's a NFL quarterbacks primarily.
I think my issue with that is the main character is not an athlete, and I think that's why you're more focused on, like, on his love life, and that's why I kind of, when I think of sports movie, I'm like, oh, Rudy, or Any Given Sunday, or Hoosiers, or something like where Slapshot. Like, I'm thinking of actual sports, and in this movie, I feel like that's just, like, the throwaway, second tier thing. So
the movie would have been exactly the same if they had just made him a movie agent, and instead right. of going to the game, they've gone to a movie premiere and someone fell on the red carpet.
Right.
You know, like, you can change the details and the movie, the theme yeah. of the movie, everything would have been the same.
I agree. 100. Yeah, I'm with all
he could have been a movie agent. He could have been, representing a big A-list actor.
I don't know that that's a valid point, because we could replace, I mean, you know, Braveheart's a great movie, but it also could have been about the Civil War.
Right, but that wouldn't... So, but you're right, and it wouldn't change the fact that it's a war movie. You see what I'm saying? Like, yes, it would have changed the characters, of course, but it wouldn't have changed what the movie is.
I think I can land on a better example of where my head is. But anyway, all right. Eddie Spaghetti, your final verdict is you're 50-50.
I'm with Paul Ryan.
It sounds like you're 50-50.
It's a rom-com with sports aspects. It's not a sports movie. If someone came from Martin and said, I want to watch a sports movie, I'm not saying go watch Jerry Maguire. I'm saying go watch Rudy. That's what I'm saying.
That'd be a weird thing to ask if you're from Mars.
Yeah, first question. Gotta watch a sports movie.
We've been studying your culture from afar.
Right. Take me to your tropes.
The best of what your species creates is sports movies. What's the best?
Are we going to do the redundancy?
Let's do it. All right, we have – oh, no, the redundancy. So, oh. Wait, are we going to kick the sports movie list to another day?
Well, we got to do the redundancies.
We should compile our list, right?
I just want to read a couple. Let me.
Oh, do you have a list?
Well, I have my list that I put out on social media. Let's just – all right. I guess we're not going to get to it fully today, but let me summon what I put down as a start, as a thought starter. And while you do this, while I dig this up, why don't we begin? This is it. This is something Bald Brian and I have a mutual passion for, which is when actors, you always hear about, like, Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill, had a hard time getting another gig because he was too thoroughly defined right. by Luke Skywalker. And it's funny that some actors are able to have an ongoing career, and yet they very often fall into doing the exact same role.
Yeah,
they do this, and sometimes it gets very specific. My favorite example is probably still that – well, my two favorite examples of this are, one, that Kevin Spacey is the subject of a police sketch artist in two movies. What a crazy redundancy that is. That's really weird that he is sketched by a police sketch artist in not one but two movies. And the other one is that Keanu Reeves is an Ohio State quarterback who played in a big bowl game, is his backstory for Point Break. And,
the Replacements, right?
And The Replacements, yeah. Shane Falco versus Johnny Utah. The first, I mean, in Point Break, it has no reason to be in there, this specific Ohio State reference, and yet it's in there. And then he makes The Replacements, and he's also in Ohio State. Right. It's really a weird redundancy. Anyway, Bald Brian and I have taken note of these, and we try to keep as comprehensive a list as possible. Bald Brian does a better job of it than I do. So let's turn it over to him with some updates on actor redundancies.
This is probably the third or fourth time we've done this, and the list keeps getting bigger and better.
I'm surprised that there's still more meat on this bone.
Oh, my God. I think of them all the time. This is just in the last since we last did this. I have this many
Great.
New ones.
Shoot.
And we have some images to put up on the screen for you,
no
too,
way.
To help illustrate. Yes. For example, in the most recent winner of Best Picture, The Shape of Water. Have you seen The Shape of Water?
I have not.
Michael Shannon, the fantastic Michael Shannon, he refers to Octavia Spencer as the help because she's a cleaning lady there. He's like, oh, the help. She won an Oscar for her role in The Help. She was the help. And he refers to her as the help in The Shape of Water.
Interesting.
Speaking of the Oscars this year, Gary Oldman, he's a man obsessed with classical music, specifically Beethoven in The Professional. Leon, The Professional. Remember, he loves his classical music. He goes on. But he played Beethoven in Immortal Beloved.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's good. Here's one that's up your alley. You love Predator. I love Predator, right?
Sure. Who doesn't?
Sonny
Not
Land-
a human if you don't love
Sonny Predator. Landham, the actor, better known as Billy.
This is my favorite one of all.
This is
right up there.
This is great. Plays a character named Billy who dies shirtless while holding a knife in two films, Predator,
I know.
And 48 Hours, thanks to Corey Harris via Facebook for this one. And he dies in two movies, shirtless, with a knife, by a guy named Billy.
Hold the phone. I have been acknowledging this one. That's not – who gets the credit?
Corey Harris via Facebook.
Great, Corey. Well done.
Did you know he died in both movies shirtless with a knife?
Yes!
All right.
Eddie Murphy shoots him dead on the bed.
Billy Bear.
Yeah, shoots – his name is Billy in both. He has a gigantic Rambo knife in his hand in both of those. And, as you say, he's shirtless. That's what the Predator does to taunt Schwarzenegger. Do it! I'm right here!
All right, here's a bit of a deeper dig, but it's for both of the movies.
That's a pretty good deep dive right there.
That's pretty good. This one's a little bit deeper. This is from two movies from this last year. I don't know if I saw either one, but Catherine Waterson, the actress, she appears in two films in the same year where John Denver's Take Me Home Country Road plays a significant role in both Logan Lucky and Alien Covenant. Did you see either one of those films?
I did not.
Logan Lucky, a good film.
All right, I'll check it out.
Alien Covenant's also a movie.
That's a little bit of a shot at the Alien Covenant.
Isn't that weird?
Good, huh?
That song, that one specific song, Take Me Home Country Road, plays a significant role in both of those movies. And that's kind of a, I wouldn't call it, not obscure, but, you know, not on the tip of most people's tongues these days.
I'll tell you what, we have a lot of soil left unturned here with Bald Brian. Another thing, the song thing reminds me, we have to also make the comprehensive list of the best songs performed by a fictional character in history.
We did that on the film ball.
Did you really?
I can hit you with a few of those if you want me to.
Next time. For some reason, I was thinking about...
we did top five hit songs from movies. You know, the songs that in the movie, the context of the film, went on to be hits performed by...
Give me one.
That Thing You Do is a classic example.
That song makes...
Well, it's a classic example.
But right, that's a really good one. I was thinking of... I can't believe. What's the cue? Say anything.
Say anything. But that's a real song, though. You're talking about like...
I'm not talking about Red Rain, and if you would let me, or whatever. So, is that what he plays? In Your Eyes, I mean. I know that's a Peter
Sorry,
Gabriel
sorry. Song. I jumped ahead.
Yeah, you did.
I apologize.
And you embarrassed
yourself. I should know my place.
And again.
I'm a guest here.
He's embarrassing himself on this program
today. I was going to say.
What's her name? I can't think of her name. She was in 6 Feet Under. Character actor.
Yeah, I shot Andy Warhol.
Yes, you know what I'm talking about. Sings the songs on the acoustic guitar.
Lily Taylor? No. Lily Taylor?
That sounds in the ballpark, but she sings the songs about her ex-boyfriend, Joe.
Yeah, I wrote 50
Joe
songs
lies
all about Joe. I wrote
when
50
he
songs
cries
all about Joe.
Joe lies when he That's cries. Right. I was singing that song for no good reason last night, and that made me think, which was, you could also do, there are a number of categories within that.
Let me come back.
But anyway,
let me come back soon, and I'll bring in a few audio samples, and we'll rock out to some, you know, fictional, you know, songs from.
All right, go ahead.
There's some good ones.
You have some more there?
I do.
Hold on to a couple more.
No, I only got four more. So is that okay?
What's her name? Lily Taylor. Okay.
There you go. Thank you. Keanu Reeves attends an underground rave in The Matrix Reloaded and John Wick 2, both sequels, part two.
Weird.
An underground rave in both movies. Literally underground. Clive Owen, the great Clive Owen, he delivers a baby in the middle of a shootout in Shoot 'Em Up and Children of Men.
Whoa!
Delivers a baby in the middle of a shootout.
That's a freaky one. Doesn't Clive Owen say to his agent or whatever, like, we really might want to rethink doing that because I've done it already in a feature film previously. Go ahead.
This actually involves one I haven't seen, but I saw the trailer and I got the idea. Vera Farmiga, the actress, she gives a train passenger a deadly mission in two movies, The Commuter with Liam Neeson and Source Code with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Wow. Doesn't anybody raise the red flag, including the actor, his or herself? And say, aren't people going to notice this? Apparently not, if it weren't for us.
I guess not. And speaking of Source Code, I saved this one for last because it involves a pretty major spoiler. So if you haven't seen Source Code, a very good movie. Have you seen Source Code?
No.
Oh.
Never even heard of it.
Do you mind?
Source Code?
With Jake Gyllenhaal, where he's on a train, he's trying to but he keeps going back in time to going back to where the day starts in order to stop this bombing. Oh, it's a good movie. Underrated movie.
Bill Murray already made that picture, but all right.
Okay, go ahead. I'm going to spoil it a little bit, but not majorly, just a little bit.
That's unlikely I'm going to see.
Okay, if you don't want to have a little bit of a reveal spoiled, go ahead and turn your volume down for a second. But Jake Gyllenhaal plays a man who has his legs blown off in two movies, Stronger and Source Code.
Loses his limbs in two pictures.
Wow. Two recent pictures, too. Source Code is like 4 years ago.
And Gyllenhaal doesn't say, like, isn't that a little bit, haven't I done this enough?
We've done this before, right?
Should we do that again? Director, do we want to go in a different? No, let's just stay with what the script says.
Have you guys seen Source Code back there? Oh, that's an underrated movie.
I have not.
That was one of those ones, which that's another category of movie, is movies that upon viewing the trailer and all the information available, you're like, this is not going to be good. And then it turns out to be quite good. Limitless was a good example. Bradley Cooper. I was like, this is not going to be good.
Oh, really? That was a good pick?
It was actually above average, yes.
By the way, that's another subject. Scratch this one down, or as Spaghetti and you like to say, put a pin in it for the next Bald Brian visit. We have a lot of work to do.
We got a lot of work to do.
And fortunately, we have a lot of real estate between now and the start of the football
season. That's right. A lot of swimming ground.
So we'll do it, but I'm finding my movie list here. The other thing is
Limitless.
The movie list, because I've seen that they're now remaking Terminator. And, of course, everybody wrings their hands. Why remake every movie that is relevant? And I kind of get why Hollywood wants to do it. But to me, there's so many great – the opposite of what you're describing, which is there are movies that, wow, that should be great, and then it doesn't work out. As I always say about Groundhog Day and – the first two Terminators. The thing that they have is they cover every eventuality.
Yeah, basis cover.
Terminator 1 and 2 are airtight pictures.
Yep.
There is no gap in the logic if you buy that world.
Right.
And it's the same thing. Go ahead. Well, Groundhog Day also. Anything, sit around and think about what would you do if you were in Bill Murray's situation in Groundhog Day? They cover pretty much everything you would do as a human being if you were stuck in that jam.
The Terminator. So I love the Terminator. I leave it alone.
And is it a sports
movie? It is not. But it suffers from a time travel paradox, which is unanswerable, so it could go either way. But the Terminator, just by virtue of being there, realizes that his mission must fail. You know what I mean? If he had succeeded, he would never be there in the first place. But this is a time travel paradox, so if we just subscribe to that, we would not have a movie. So it's like, you know what? Just let it go and enjoy the movie at that point. Otherwise, there's no movie.
But again, the logic of it does make sense.
Once
you lay it out temporally.
Once you allow for the premise, it works out perfectly.
Right. Yeah. If you lay it down, if you do a timeline, and you start it in whatever, 1984 or whatever, and then you assume that it gets to whatever, it's supposed to be 2020-ish or whatever, the logic does work out that if you get to 2020 under that – in that situation that you could then send. Anyway, all right. We'll try to make sense of that. Here's my list, Bald, and we're going to punch it up here. We're going to figure it out. This is a starting place, as it turns out. We're not going to get all the way through it. My number one sports movie of all time and one of my top five favorite movies.
You can narrow it down to just one.
Because it's one of my five favorite movies.
All right, let's hear it.
Period. Hoop Dreams.
Oh, fantastic choice. A little bit off the board because if people don't think of it as a movie because it's a documentary, that is a fine – that's in the contention for one of my all-time – maybe number one all-time documentary. It's a great movie. More people should see it. It's daunting because it's like 2 hours and 15 minutes or 2.5 hours. And it's also
– it's got
– the filmmaking techniques have come a long way, but it is a gripping story.
For sure. But the other thing about it that's striking is what they go in, the filmmakers, the documentarians go in to shoot a certain kind of picture, and instead serendipity, not for the sake of one of the two kids that they're covering, turns the movie into something completely different, into a social commentary and everything else.
It became an iconic documentary. That's always
I love it.
A lot of documentaries get
But it didn't even get nominated for an Academy Award that year.
Steve James was nominated for a documentary this year, right?
Is that right?
Strong Island? No. He did I'm going to come up with it.
I also have down, these are in alphabetical order, so there's no order to these, obviously. Bad News Bears, the original, it goes out second.
Still funny, yeah.
That's great.
Well, in as much as comedies don't hold up as much from that era, like it's rare that a comedy really holds up, that's still funny.
Walter Matthau is dynamite. I'm not even going to say Lebowski because I don't want to go down that rabbit
hole. That's not a sports movie.
Caddyshack, is that a sports movie?
It is, but it's not good.
It's not good.
I don't like Caddyshack.
You're going to weigh in on what's funny. You're going to attack.
I don't like Caddyshack.
You're going to attack Spaghetti and MVP for their movie opinions, or for their Simpsons opinions.
There's one you can bring to Corolla. Talk to him about Caddyshack sometime. See how that goes.
Well, he has a chip on his shoulder about certain things. As somebody who is a comedy movie maker, he has to judge things.
I think history has judged, is now judging Caddyshack to be not a great movie.
a great movie, I don't know, but some of the funniest stuff that you'll ever see in a movie, absolutely.
I'll meet you halfway. I'll meet you halfway and see if there's a couple of funny moments.
There is, I mean, it is weird. The thing that stands out now, if you're a 20-year-old person and you watch Caddyshack for the first time, the thing that will stand out to you is how weird it is. Like, wait, why did they decide to do a nude scene?
Right.
Why are there...
Yeah.
And it's not like
there was no porn. There was no adult film.
Yeah, it's like this soft core porn kind of thing. It's very strange that it's in a comedy.
That was a construct.
But that was a thing that was
in
a lot of sports. I mean, sports movies and a lot of comedies back then. But Caddyshack, I mean, Ted Knight is just one of the funniest movie characters ever. The judge is one of the all-time funniest characters in any movie of all time.
What else you got?
Heaven Can Wait.
That's one I haven't seen.
Oh man, you want to talk about a great movie?
Does it hold up? Am I gonna enjoy that?
Charles Grodin by himself and Diane Cannon. Their back and forth is great. Hoosiers gets really
just
high.
Just watched it the other day.
Hoosiers gets really high marks for me. By the way, talk about a redundancy in the movie is that music is used, and it's an Indiana. It's a retro Indiana based sports movie, and they use the same score.
What do you mean?
Dun, 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 dun,
oh, yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. How did that happen?
Interesting.
When have you ever heard of that?
Never.
Like an original movie is used in two movies, let alone in two sports movies, let alone in the same state.
That's a good
Let alone in throwback.
You'll often see that with trailers. Like a trailer will often use dun, dun, songs dun, from dun, another or music from another movie because they don't have the audio, obviously, or the score yet, you know. But that's very rare.
I want you to see Heaven Can Wait.
Okay.
I think you're really going to delight in it. Hoosiers is great because the kids that they got look not only like they don't shoot the ball like basketball players, they don't look like actual athletes. It's not merely that. They look like they're from the 50s, the way they shoot the ball. It's funny.
I thought you said Hoop Dreams. Hoosiers. No. Yeah,
Hoosiers is crazy because I don't know how they coach the kids up to look like they're not just playing basketball well, which they are playing basketball,
The era.
They're playing it in the 50s. It's crazy to look at. And it's not just the get-ups. They actually are shooting two-handed set shots and everything else. I love that. I said Jerry Maguire. The Natural.
The Natural, along with Hoosiers and Jerry Maguire, are films I own on DVD. I love these movies. The Natural, having just shown it to my wife for the first time a couple years ago, is a little slow.
Roy Hobbs.
And I love that movie. I've seen it many times.
I mean, he can swing that stick.
Yeah, he can.
He knows how to throw it. He looks like a ball player. The whole thing looks like
also era specific. You know, those guys look like they could have played back in the day.
Raging Bull.
That's on the short list for number one all time.
Rocky. I take it up through two, but if I'm doing it ironically, then I will include three and four.
They're enjoyable. I agree with that. Right. Rocky 1, a great movie. Rocky 2,
yes.
Quite as great, but good. And Rocky 3 and 4,
I mean, there's some
enjoyable.
Silliness there. Yeah, they're fun to watch.
Absolutely.
Drago and all that. But yes, one and two. I mean, listen, one is a legitimate great script and a great performance by Sly Stallone, Carolla's new friend. Slapshot.
I saw Slapshot way too late and did not appreciate it to the level I think I was supposed to. So I don't see what most people see in that.
Wrong.
Sorry, buddy.
I
recognize that many people love that.
When We Were Kings is a great documentary, and then I'll round it out here and then we'll finish this list. Well, we'll take some away. Talladega Nights, the funniest movie of the 21st
really?
Century.
Really? I didn't see that coming.
Funniest movie of the 21st century. Spaghetti, weigh in.
Whoa, the funniest movie?
MVP, how say you? Funniest movie of this
century.
Oh, boy.
Bridesmaids.
Old school. I thought you were saying Talladega Nights.
What did I say?
Is that your contender? That's your offering for funniest movie of this century so far? Of the last 17 years?
I mean, I don't know how many more times I need to say it before it permeates your brain, but yes, that's what I'm saying.
Borat is a thousand times funnier.
We say Anchorman, too.
Borat is a thousand times funnier.
Borat is very
good. Borat's pretty good.
All right, that's
Anchorman's also
Anchorman.
Funnier. Old school's funnier.
I'll throw it an underrated one. I Love You, Man, with Paul Rudd.
Oh, I Love You, Man's also better.
Oh, come on.
Talladega Nights is fine. It's got some good moments.
I love
a great comedy.
I just want to make sure I got this straight from the two of you geniuses. I Love You, Man, which is funny for the first 40-ish minutes.
Oh, no.
No.
No, the whole movie's quotable.
Ugh. I mean, better than Talladega Nights?
Talladega Nights is kind of like, it's lowbrow. It's not really my thing.
Wedding Crashers is a better comedy.
Yeah.
MVP, I love that. Little lowbrow, not my thing.
Oh, my God. Wow.
There's so many.
Lowbrow.
The 10th best or funniest part of I Love You Man is probably funnier than anything in Talladega Nights.
That is absurd. The scene with John C. Reilly when he comes home, when Will Ferrell comes home, and to find John C. Reilly has completely replaced him in his own home in the span of about an hour or whatever. It's one of the funniest ideas ever.
The dinner table
scene.
That
he taped his picture up onto
the
family
portrait. The children is fantastic. You know, where the kids are, I'll come at you like a spider monkey.
Yeah,
The kids are disrespectful.
Yeah. In the first scene in the bar, the scene when they meet on the track for the first time.
You know what?
Time.
You've convinced me. Funniest movie of the last 18 years. You've convinced me.
I mean, listen, Borat out here, Wedding I mean, not Wedding, definitely not Wedding
Wedding Crashers is definitely better.
That's the one Carolla was getting into.
What do you mean?
Oh, Wedding Crashers is the funniest movie of the... I
don't know about the funniest, but it's definitely funnier.
Than Talladega Nights?
Yeah, absolutely, sure.
I mean, just not.
Anyway, I hang my hat on Borat. I don't think you can do much better. That was a transcendent.
Borat, very strong. That was supposed to redefine the comedy genre, and it has not.
Was the first South Park movie in the 90s or was it in 2000? Because that's up there, too. That was a hysterical after for me.
I don't know, man. I definitely don't agree with – Wedding Crashers, definitely not. And the other one, what's it called? The Hangover.
Oh, and I also loved, what was it? This is the End? The End of the World movie with Seth Rogen?
The first 30 minutes of that are dynamite.
It got too much for it?
And it's like, all right, let's wrap this thing up.
Underrated Will Ferrell, the other guys with Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell in that movie.
I didn't see that.
It's underrated. It's good. Right. I do think, though, that The Hangover and Superbad, when they came out, their impact was pretty high on, like, the comedy world, if that makes sense.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's not how I'm measuring them. I agree. And I'm not trying to be overly critical of them either because they were such outsized successes. I just when I saw The Hangover, I thought, Zach Galifianakis. Really funny, as I would expect him to be, and I can't think of the other guy.
Bradley Cooper,
no.
Ed Helms,
no. Ed Helms is an amusing person.
Oh, I'm trying to name names for you.
The Asian guy, who's
Ken
mobster.
Jeong.
Yeah, Ken Jeong.
Yeah.
But overall, I didn't like.
We got a lot of work to do for next time, Dave.
Yes, we did. All right. I think we've covered a lot of ground.
I gotta see Heaven Can Wait.
How long? I think you're really gonna enjoy that one. I sincerely do. It's a great, great picture, man.
Emma, have you been writing this down, or what's on our list for next time?
Oh, we're going to finish out this list, that's for sure.
She has not been writing.
Am I right?
Not been writing. You know, I thought we had a lot to get into.
66 minutes.
Oh, 66.
For Studio
Wait a minute.
66.
When you said we were at 35 minutes, I thought, all right, we'll wrap
that was
it up.
31
I would have guessed we just went 10 minutes
that
after
31
that.
Minutes.
We went 31
ago.
Minutes after
yep.
that.
Your concept of time is troubling.
Yes. So do we go with the Honey Badger in this show or no?
I guess we can see how timely it is.
All right. I guess that's what we're going to have to do. We'll see. I don't even know when I say goodbye right now if I'm throwing to the Honey Badger or not. I'm going to say, here comes the Honey Badger, and you as the audience will find out before I do whether that means
next week.
In the next few seconds right. or if it is on the next DDFP. Right. Either way, I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. I met him a few years ago. And he proved to be delightful. I anticipate nothing less than that this time around, too. Bald Brian, you've more than, done something or whatever you did here.
I appreciate the praise, Dave. Always valuable come from you.
All right. Make sure you listen to Bald Brian and his great work on the Film Vault, like he said, as well. And of course, the Adam Carolla Show, 10 years going now.
Songs for Movies was on the list.
Songs performed.
Yep.
fictional people.
Right, yeah, songs that exist in that world of the movie.
Did the band in Animal House, are they a real band? I think they...
Otis Day and the Nights, they just did covers.
But Otis Day and the Nights, you can now see.
Oh, I don't know about
that.
But do they exist now?
I think they are out touring somewhere.
Walk Hard, you mean stuff like that?
Yes.
Oh, that's a good idea. Like
the songs that exist in the world of the movie.
Yeah.
Yes, James Brown... In Rocky IV is not eligible. That song
He's
was made.
A hit.
That's a different category, which we could also do.
Songs
like
made for the movie.
Huey Lewis and the News do Back in Time for the thing. And do we ever see them playing that? No, we see Michael J. Fox
Ooh.
And his high school band performing Back in Time.
What's the name of the band?
I don't know.
He says it when they're auditioning. Remember the talent show? He's
the
like
millennials or something.
The pinheads.
The pinheads?
The pinheads. And Huey Lewis himself says, sorry, fellas, you're just too darn loud.
Wait a second.
That
so
was
Huey Lewis. Yeah, right.
He was the guy with the megaphone. Sorry, fellas, you're just too darn loud.
Oh, he's reviewing.
He's the teacher.
I also tweeted you something about somebody saying
I don't read your
his own character's name in the movie. Listen, that's another conversation.
We'll have to reconvene on that.
I want to think of more songs, though.
So, like, Joaquin Phoenix in the Johnny Cash movie, that does not count because it's Johnny Cash.
No, that can be a different category. Songs performed by
these would almost be fictional artists and or bands.
What about, like, singles?
Yeah, because Pearl Jam was a band.
They're the band. Matt Dillon was the lead singer.
And we see them perform a song, right? And it's terrible, so that wouldn't make it. I mean, that's fine, but
I have a list. I have a list of good ones.
In not Fever Pitch, but the other one with John Cusack from that same novelist.
Oh, High Fidelity?
High Fidelity. From the Huxtable, one of the Huxtables. Lisa Bonet. Lisa Bonet.
But she's doing a cover.
She is?
Yeah. Ooh, baby, I love your way.
Yeah, but she's a fictional.
Every day.
I think we can allow that because she's a fictional character.
Yeah, can't that'd be like Otis Day and the Night's doing Shout.
Shout's a cover? What do I know where that song came from?
Isley Brothers.
Who wrote it?
I think it's the Isley Brothers.
Is that true? All right. See?
You didn't know that?
EDFP exists to serve as infotainment and sometimes the person receiving that info, Dave Damashek. We'll kibitz with you later on. Maybe you'll hear me in just a second here kibitzing with the Honey Badger. I'm starting to feel like that's not going to be, though, on this episode since we're, what, now like 78 minutes or something?
Oh, yeah, we're at 70 minutes.
There's a lot you
so
can
stick
cut.
Around. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't.
Maybe it won't. But if we talk to the Honey – so I'm going in real time. I'm going to get up from Bald Brian here and go and talk to the Honey Badger, whether or not you get to hear that today or in a couple of days. I don't know. It's like a cliffhanger. It's maybe even a sports movie. All right. Well, thanks to Bald Brian. Listen to him on the Adam Carolla Show and the Film Vault and this, that, and the other. Great work from him. And we'll kibitz with you later on. On this show or otherwise, are you going to play the goodbye? Oh, you know,
no,
you can't play the goodbye.
Right, it's a cliffhanger.
Yeah, Bald Brian's holding my hand. You know this is an audio show, so you're just doing that for pleasure.
But as soon as you mentioned it, it became part of the audio show.
Yeah, now we're going to put it on his video.
That makes sense. All right, I guess I'll say a tepid, it's been a thin slice of heaven, and maybe we'll talk to you in just a second, maybe next week.